$1 billion. Amen. And so it's good to, excuse me, to be a good steward of what God gives us, right? Amen. Y'all know what a steward is, right? Amen. I almost preached on that today, but it got changed. Maybe we'll hit it one day, but we got to be good stewards, right? Amen. And seek God's way of doing things, because then it'll just be easier on us. It will be. Amen. We ain't got to try to figure everything out. We just go to his throne and say, God, what do you want us to do here? He'll, this way. All right, yeah, let's go. Amen. Amen. All right, you got your tithe and offering? All right, Father God, we love, thank you, praise you, magnify your holy name, and we thank you for another opportunity to be able to tithe, give back 10% of what you have allowed us the ability to make. And we also thank you for another chance to be able to sow into your kingdom. We thank you, Father God, it will produce an abundant harvest. And we thank you for it and magnify you for it and give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. Everybody agreed, said amen.
Amen.
Amen. Don't forget, if you have a, do we have a sign-up sheet? Reed will get you. If there's not a sign-up sheet, or if you got questions, Reed, will you stand up, please? This is Reed right here. He's the guy in charge of men's group, him and Richard. Richard's with the kids, though, right now. That's the youth ministers. If you got any questions, go ask them about it. They'll let you know. Amen. It's good to hang around other guys, because then you get to do guy stuff. You know, the stuff that your wife always slaps you and goes, slow down, don't do that. You got to drive like that? You get to do that now. Right? I figured you'd appreciate that. I appreciate that. some of y'all just need to start laughing, okay? It'll get a lot easier, I promise. Turn over to Genesis, please. Genesis 2. We'll go to verse 15. I'm going to read it to you out of the good news. Wait, do y'all have that? No? Okay. Genesis 2:15. Amen. Amen. We'll pray and get started. Father God, we do love, thank you, and praise you, and magnify your holy name. And we thank you for another opportunity to gather around your word with like believers and to be able to feed our spirit, man, to be able to feed our faith. Father God, I thank you. Make my tongue as the pen of a ready writer. Bringing forth truths this morning, not only for this congregation, but also for myself. Things that will continually help us throughout the week. And I thank you, Father God, not my will, but your will be done this morning, Father God. Everything that you would have for us, it will be brought forth. And we thank you for it, Father God. We just pull on that anointing, on that mantle that you placed on my life, and we thank you for it. We thank you for it, and we thank you for it, Father God. In the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody agreed, said amen.
Amen.
Amen. Genesis 2, verse 15. Right here in the King James, I'll read that to y'all. It says, and the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to what? To dress it and to keep it, right? And then if you read in the Good News, it says, the Lord God placed the man in the Garden of Eden. To cultivate it and guard it. Amen. Side note, well, we won't go there. Cultivate. I look if you get to looking it up and stuff, you'll find a bunch of great definitions, actually. And then I found this one, got this one deal. It says, cultivate, unlock its potential. To unlock its potential. Unlock its potential. Cultivate. Unlock its potential. Amen. I really like that. So, moving along, I wrote down some stuff. A farmer tills the ground and gets it ready to receive the seed so that once it's planted, it unlocks the potential. The potential of that seed. See, because that seed, if you plant an apple, you're not going to receive one apple. It unlocks the potential to give you just an overflow of apples. Not only today, tomorrow, but throughout the whole year, throughout the next year, throughout the next year, throughout the next year. It unlocked its potential, the potential that was on the inside of it. And that woman that only had two mites, she didn't see it as insignificant. She didn't see it as nothing. She unlocked a potential. She sowed it. And then Jesus seen it. He said, son, you gave more than all these people giving millions right now. Why? Because she knew the value of a seed. Amen. And we need to learn the value of a seed, not just assume that it's nothing or this can't produce nothing. It'll produce. Yes, because y'all know the mustard seed is the smallest seed, but you ought to see how big the tree gets. Yes. Amen. And then y'all remember the fig tree that Jesus cursed, right? I always assumed it was about 3 feet tall or something little bitty. I did. Why? Because our minds are trained to think small from a little young age. Well, not from a, because when we were kids, we'd always think crazy. Not crazy, but good crazy. Big. And then we started getting older and people were like, you can't do that. And so we just accepted that sometimes, right? But not us here, right? And so, you know, there's a restaurant, I believe it's over in Brazil. It seats 300 and something people and it's a fig tree. You ought to look it up. Look up the images. You'll see it. They built around this fig tree. And the branches and everything are just going through the restaurant. But that's, amen. So what are we doing with the ground on the inside of us? Right? Amen. What are we doing with the ground on the inside of us? Have we cultivated the ground? Or maybe we fertilized it, we spent time on it, we got all the weeds out, you know. What are the weeds? The fear, the doubt, the unbelief, the uncertainty, the I don't know if God will. Well, this is, it is what it is. that great saying. It's not a great saying. It really, I ain't gonna say that. Amen. Amen. It gets all the weeds out, or we got to get all the weeds out, right? And, if, you know, think, all right. Amen. You know, a lot of times, too, more of the seeds are the doubt and unbelief, right? That I'm not smart enough. I don't have this higher education. Well, I'm this color. Well, I'm that color. Well, this or that. That's a lot of things that we've been taught throughout our life. If you really think about it, that truly is what you've been taught, what people have said. And so a lot of times we unconsciously pick up on that because it's constantly spoke, and then we just kind of constantly hear it. If we're not renewing our mind to the Word, then we'll start grabbing hold of little things like that. Right? And then once we just start grabbing hold of little things like that, we just kind of continue to meditate on it, and then we'll feed on it a little bit. And then it starts producing in our life. And then we step back and go, well, how'd I get here? Well, what have I been feeding on? Right? But, you know, you got to get all those weeds out. And once we get the soil ready, though, you know, once we got the soil good and ready, did we forget to plant the seed? Seriously. Well, what's the seed? The Word of God. That's the seed. So we've cleaned up the our garden, the inside, right? Or whatever you want to call it. We've cleaned it up, got everything out, fixed some things, dealt with unbelief, dealt with doubt, dealt with fear, got it under our feet. We got into the Word and figured it out. And then we just kind of stopped and didn't even plant nothing after that. And now we just have a nice tilled ground. Yeah, pretty dirt. That's not producing nothing. Amen. Why? Because, I mean, how silly would it look like for a farmer get out there and spend hours tilling the ground, getting it ready, fertilize, and then don't even plant? Everybody would think he was crazy. And he would be. Because why do you want to spend that time and effort on that and then not get a benefit from it? Yeah. Not reap the potential of all that work. Not allowing that ground to unlock the potential of that seed to produce for you. Because now that's going to bring in income. Right? Well, what does the Word of God do? See, we've been told that the Bible is a story. And so our belief about the Bible is, did it really happen? It's a story. It's not story, it's facts. It's truths from the Word. It's actual things that have happened. Well, I don't know if I can understand it. Look, it is out. Some of the things that whenever you read it, you're like, did that really happen? That's why it's called faith. You got to believe that it is so. You grab a hold of it with your faith and say, you know what, God, if you said it, I believe it. And that settles it. I ain't got to sit here and try to figure out how it happened or why it happened. And that's where we'll get messed up. We'll read the Word and then we'll try to figure it out here. And you're not going to. I'm telling you right now. You're not going to figure out the Bible by thinking about it naturally. Amen. God will bring insight to you when you start meditating on the Word, though. You start meditating on the Word, He'll start dropping truths in you, and then you'll start seeing Scripture different. Amen. Do we have the living? Will you turn, go to Proverbs 4:4, please, in the living? He told me never to forget his words. If you follow them, he said, you will have a long and what? If you do what? If you eat right? If you watch your diet, you know, if you start doing everything just perfect with your food intake, it's not bad to have a good diet. It's not. Because we are supposed to be taking care of our temple, our body. Correct? Because that's how you'll live long. Because there's a lot of things in this food nowadays that we probably shouldn't even be putting in our body. Amen? But it doesn't tell you to walk around. Move along. Amen. If you follow them, he said, you will what?
Have a long and happy life.
Very interesting. It's not just long, but what else? So look at your neighbor and say, from this angle, it doesn't look like you're too happy. I'm just joking. I'm just joking. Because the Word, whenever we do get into the Word, we'll figure out what belongs to us. We will. Amen. You will have a long and what? Happy. Happy life. Look at your neighbor and say, are you happy? Amen. Next, please. Learn to be wise, he said. Amen. Very interesting that he said learn. To be wise, right? Learn to be wise, he said, and develop what? And what? some people lack common sense. It's okay. Let the ignorant be ignorant still, right? Amen. But develop good judgment and common sense. Develop. Amen. I cannot overemphasize this point. Next. Cling to wisdom. Well, the Bible says to be wise, so I got to watch the news so I can pay attention to what's going on. Well, look, first off, I've said it a few times. People really misuse the word wisdom.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to tell you that right now.
That's right.
Because to say things like that just really makes me start questioning some stuff.
Sir.
Because if I'm going to use wisdom but constantly feed on negativity,
yep,
but
yep,
not feed on the word one time at all,
yep,
is that wisdom?
No, sir.
Nope. Well, I need to know what's going on. Okay. Ask the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Because I thought the word said that he'll show you things to come.
Yeah.
So if something's coming up pertaining to you or your family or you need to pray about, he will let you know. That way you're able to get after it. But the thing is, we want somebody else to do our work for us. We don't want to spend time praying and seeking God. That way we can get a quick answer. That's from the Holy Ghost. Thank you. And that was real good. You might as well say old man, or not old man. Amen. It's still good. Right? Seriously. Because we've dealt with instant pudding so much. We think everything should be right now, so we'll go to things that'll tell us our answer right now instead of seeking God. Because we don't want to spend time doing that. Not us. Once again, the people not here, right? Amen. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I forget who we was talking to one day. they we was talking and they said, you was preaching and then you said, not us here, but the people aren't here, and they weren't able to come because they were watching online, and they were like, he's talking about us. I'm not talking about y'all. Cling to wisdom. Amen. We do have to have wisdom. We do. And we got to be wise about some stuff. We do. Common sense. Amen. But what's that? Oh. Cling to wisdom. Amen. Cling to wisdom. She will do what? Love her, and she will what? Amen. Next, please. We'll go all the way to 13. Getting wisdom is the most important thing you can do. And with your wisdom, develop what? It's interesting that he keeps talking about common sense and good judgment as well as wisdom. Right? Common sense and good judgment. If you exalt wisdom, she will exalt you. Hold her fast, and she will lead you to great honor. Amen. She will place a beautiful crown upon your head. My son, listen to me and do as I say. And you will have a long, good life. I would have you learn this great fact that a life of doing right is the wisest life there is. Amen? If you live that kind of life, you'll not limp or stumble as you run. Amen? Carry out my instructions. Don't forget them, for they will lead you to real living. Amen. They will lead you to what? Amen. I hate to say it, but a lot of Christians don't know what real living is.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. Real living.
Yeah.
Well, real living. Amen. That's not having situations going on constantly in your life. Amen. That's not living paycheck to paycheck. That's living in divine health. Walking from victory to victory to victory to victory. Because 1 Corinthians, I forget where it's at, talks about a perpetual victory parade. A perpetual victory parade. That means just rolling out, enjoying life. The good life. Amen. Not having, even though a situation might come up, it doesn't phase this at all. What do I mean? I mean your outward man. You don't allow things going on to affect you here to where you're like. You stand up, you stand tall, and you continue forward regardless of what's going on. Hey, man. Turn over to Daniel 1, please. I'll read out of the Living, New Living. No, the NIV is what I'm trying to say. Thank you. Daniel 1. Daniel 1, you can start verse 1, sorry. Time is it? Maybe we won't start at verse 1. We will start. We better read it. I'm going to read it real fast. Amen. NIV, Daniel 1:1. It says, in the third year reign of King of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem to besiege it. And the Lord delivered that king of Judah into his hand, along with some of the articles from the temple of God. These he carried off to the temple of his God in Babylonia, and put in the treasure house of his God. Then the king ordered that guy, chief of his court officials, to bring into the king's service some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility, young men without any physical defect, handsome, talking about me now, what was that? Handsome, showing aptitude of every kind of learning, well informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them the language and literature of the Babylonians. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. Whose table?
The king's table.
The king's table. So it's obviously great food. Right? You think the king eats junk? No. He eats the best. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that they were to enter the king's service. Among those who were chosen were some from Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief official gave them new names. To Daniel, the name to Hanan, Shadrach, to Mishael, Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. First one though, let me read the prince hoped to change their identity. No, the prince hoped by changing their identity, it would bring new allegiances from these young men, but it didn't work. They refused to let go of their true identity.
Amen.
Amen. They refused to let go of their true identity. See, they were unlocking the potential that was already on the inside
Amen.
Of them. They refused to grab a hold of something else.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
So they were protecting it. They were watching it. Amen.
Yeah.
They were keeping it.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Another one is Daniel 8. Oh, snap. Did they all go off? I'm going to read it to you out of the King James. It says that Daniel purposed. I'd highlight that if you got King James or write it down. But Daniel purposed in his heart. Daniel purposed. I looked that word up. Purpose is to can guide life decisions, influence behavior, shape goals, offer a sense of direction, and create meaning. Amen. And create what? And create meaning. But he purposed in his heart of what he was going to do. He didn't allow what the king was talking about to affect what he already knew what he was supposed to be doing, because that went against everything that they believed in. That's why he didn't want to do it. They didn't eat swine and all that stuff, but the king and all them did. But he purposed in his heart, look, I'm not going to fall in the way of y'all's way of doing things. I'm going to keep to how I believe that I'm supposed to be living, how God told me to live. Right? And so they just didn't pick up and do what the king told them to do. Right? Amen. Where are we at? Let me read this to you real fast. Let me go over there. Because Psalm 17, I'm going to read it to you out of the NIV. You can write it down. Just write it down. I'll read it to you. I'm going to read about verse 3 and 5. It says, though you probe my heart, though you examine me at night and test me, you will find that I have planned no evil. Amen. My mouth has not transgressed. Amen. Amen. The King James says, verse 3, it says, thou hast proved my heart, thou hast visited me in the night, thou hast tried me and shalt find nothing. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. Amen. 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 I am purposed. And so I looked that word transgressed up. It means to go beyond the limits of what is normal, what is morally, socially, or legally acceptable. Amen. To offend by violating a law. So go beyond the limits of what is morally, socially, or legally acceptable. Amen. And if you continue on reading, it says, though people tried to bribe me, I have kept myself from the ways of the violent. Through what your lips have commanded, my steps have held to your paths. My feet have not stumbled. Amen. So he's talking about, look, everybody else is going this way, but I haven't allowed my mouth to get on board with any of them, and also haven't allowed myself to move with them. Right? So he said, I haven't transgressed against you. Amen. Right? Back to Daniel. I know y'all didn't even turn. That's good. That way we're here pretty fast. Daniel, we'll keep reading about verse 8. Let me get over there in my tablet. But Daniel resolved not to defile. I'm reading the NIV, sorry. Defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief officials for permission not to defile himself this way. Now God had caused the official to show favor and compassion to Daniel. But the official told Daniel, I am afraid of my lord the king who has assigned your food and drink. Why should he see you looking worse than the other young men your age? Right? And he said, the king would then have me my head because of you. So the king's worried. Yes. Or this official working for the king's worried. He's like, look, I can't do what you're saying. I can only do what the king says. Because what if you show up and you look sickly and everybody else is looking awesome and great? Right? That's what he told him. Daniel then said to the guard, whom the chief officials had appointed over Daniel, Hanan, Mishael, and Azariah, "Please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance with that of the young men who eat the royal food, and treat your servants in accordance with what you see."
Amen.
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 So he arranged to this and tested them for 10 days. At the end of the 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. Amen. See, so they knew what was on the inside of them.
Yes, sir.
And so they just said, "Look, we're not just going to conform to how y'all want to do things. I know how I'm supposed to be living, and I know what I'm supposed to be doing right. Let's do that. We can't do that. The king said, no, look, just try it out for 10 days. And they came back. What were they doing? Cultivating what was on the inside of them, unlocking its potential, and then you see it. They had to stand by what they believed. They didn't just go along with everybody else just because all of a sudden now it's a change. Now all of a sudden something else is new. They had to stand by what they said. Amen. I'm going to tell you right now, it's going to take a little bit of tenacity on your side to do that. Amen. At the end of the 10 days, looking healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. So the guard took away their choice food and the wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables instead. To these four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning. And Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. Next. At the end of the time set by the king to bring them into his service, the chief official presented them to Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them, and he found what? He found none equal. So if they were teenagers, the King James says, and the king communed with them among them all and found none. Found none. None. Like Daniel, Hanan, Mishael, that one, yep. Therefore stood they before the king, right? And so they entered the king's service. Why? Because the king didn't find anybody like them. Next. In every matter, say every matter. You need to remember that. Well, I don't know what to do in this situation. In every matter. Every matter. I'm telling you right now, you ask God how to deal with it and how to go about it. He will let you know. He's not a God that just does circumstance. Maybe you'll make it, maybe you don't. Maybe I'll tell you this time to give you a heads up or something. Next time you're on your own. That's how the world works. We shouldn't operate like the world works. We shouldn't be going to a place and then all of a sudden finding out something. Oh, how'd that happen? We should have known that before we got there. Because if we ever read the Word of God, it talks about the Holy Ghost. He'll show us things to come. He'll let us. Y'all remember Brother Hagin? I talk about him a lot. I hope you remember him. But you remember he said that God will always told him 2 years in advance before anybody in his family would pass. 2 years in advance. And it didn't come by him sitting in front of a TV. I'm telling you that right now. He'd spend time around the throne of God. He'd just fellowship with God. And he'd just start revealing things to him, letting him know things. Why? Because he created us to be able to fellowship with, to be able to just talk with, to hang out with. And so it's like your best friend. You know, if you knew something was going to happen, you'd let them know, hey, this is going to happen in a couple of days. I just wanted to let you know. But if I never come around and hang out with my best friend or talk to him until something happens, then all of a sudden, what do I do, God? And then we wait there for about 3 seconds, like, I guess he don't know either. And then move on and go try to figure it out the world's way. You might as well say amen or smile or something. Amen. We shouldn't operate like the world. Not if God is our God. We really shouldn't. We shouldn't ever be walking in the dark. We shouldn't ever be the last to know things. Amen. We shouldn't be. Amen. It is going to take time on our part. Amen. Are we all there? No. Am I all there? No. Do I still have to practice this? Yes. Do I still have to put my flesh under? Yes, yep. Sir. Yes, sir. Yes, I do. Yes. I've told y'all about Chelsea knowing a couple years in advance before she left. And then I actually knew a couple years before I was going to pastor here, because I didn't plan on pastoring. Just so y'all know, we was going to move back to Oklahoma and help my mom and dad. That's what the plan was. And then all of a sudden, it got changed. Well, I think all of a sudden it got changed. It was the plan the whole time. I just didn't ask. Key word there. It was the plan the whole time. I just didn't ask. I wanted to do what I wanted to do and go home and help mom and dad. I didn't ask God what he wanted me to do. And before we got married, I knew I was going to marry her before I even called her. I was driving. I'll tell you where I was there in Pawnee. I was coming back from Mom and Dad's sand plant. I was out there working. I had Dad's old blue Dodge, and I had his, what do y'all call it, a backhoe? I call it a rubber tire hoe. I don't know. Because it's got rubber tires. The other one has tracks, so you call it a track hoe, you know. Moving along. No idea. Backhoe. It's got a bucket. Okay, I ain't going to explain it right now. I'll just show you a picture later. But I had that on the trailer, and I was coming back, and I was passing the Masham Bridge, and on the inside of me, God said, "You'll marry her." All right, I'm going to marry Chelsea then. You want to know why he told me? Because I was asking. Because I've been married twice before. Guess how many times I asked before? And then there was a few times we had texted each other, and one of the questions was, would you swim across shark-infested waters to bring me a glass of lemonade? Well, the thing behind this was she was talking to a lady, and the lady said, look, you don't need a man that will not swim across shark-infested waters to bring you a glass of lemonade. Dads, that's exactly what you need to tell your daughter.
Yeah, amen.
I said, dads, that's exactly what you need to tell your daughter.
Amen.
Amen. Pay attention on how he's treating your daughter,
yes,
right now.
Amen.
If he's not out there opening the door, coming to the door to get her, I'd start checking him out.
Yeah.
Or just have you and him a talk. That way you scare the fire out of him. Amen. But a lady told her that, and I didn't know it.
Right.
I didn't. And I actually text in my phone. I said, heck no. Why would I want to swim across shark-infested waters to bring you a glass of lemonade. This is what I'm thinking, and I'm driving, right?
Yeah.
And it's not for some reason, but on the inside of me, I just sat there and erased that entire text. And I wrote, "Yes, I would," with a handgun and a couple grenades. You could ask her. That's what I text her. And see, I didn't know that, though. I didn't know that was a requirement from her. But who did? See, if we'll stop and just listen and pay attention before we just spout off at the mouth, we'll always have the correct answer. And then another question was, what if I get fat? And so I wrote back, "What if I get fat?" Apparently, she thought that was the funniest thing in the world. There was another question. What was the other one? I don't remember the other one. But there was another question she asked, or we was just talking, and I didn't know they were questions, right? Because we were just kind of texting. I was heading to work and talking, and she texted me, and it was a question. I forget what it was. I really do. And I wrote something, and then all of a sudden, I'm really, it's like, looking back, I'm sitting here watching myself erasing the entire text. And then I put in another text, and it was the correct answer. God will always give us the right answer. Let us know what the correct direction to go, the correct decision to make. But if I'm constantly feeding on how the world does things, though, then I'm not going to hear the correct answer, because I'm just bogged down with the world's way of handling situations and things. Amen. And now I'm working off the theory of men. And y'all remember what a theory is. It's a supposition established upon ignorance of the subject under discussion.
Amen.
Amen. Some of y'all get to that later. Moving along. Amen. Brother Hagin would always know at least 2 years in advance. And he said, you know, sometimes, and you, what, I loved Brother Hagin. He was just so humble, right? He wasn't trying to boast about himself or nothing like that. But he'd say, you know, and then sometimes I'd be able to pray him out of it. And so that's why God would show himself a lot of times. He wouldn't just go up to him and say, "Hey, you're going to die." Well, you start doing that, God's going to stop talking to you.
That's right.
Because now you're putting the fear of God in her or him. Maybe he's telling you something to pray about, but we don't want to spend that time, so I'll just tell you what he said, and hopefully you'll fix it. Amen. Yeah, not us. Amen. So this I'm going to tell you, isn't in here. Amen. But we ask God to help us, so that's the way we're heading. Right? Right? Amen. Amen. So he would. And he said a lot of times he'd be able to pray his family right out of death. And so if the Holy Ghost is going to let me know things to come, then I'll always be ready for him. He said there was never a deficit, is that the correct word, or that came along where God wouldn't let him know ahead of time so that they were able to, because he, y'all remember he had the church rhema there in Broken Arrow. Amen. He said he'd always let me know. There, I think it was twice it happened. At the third time it happened, he said, God didn't tell me. And so I went to God. He said, "Hey, why didn't you let me know about this?" He goes, "Oh, I knew it wouldn't affect you. You'll be fine." And he said, "It didn't affect me." So why would he tell him if it wouldn't affect him? But it's interesting that he said he noticed it won't affect you, so I don't need to let you know about it. But these other two, he told them. He told him what to do to help so that when recession came, it wouldn't affect him. Even though everybody else is struggling and everything, He said, we just went through, didn't even notice there's a recession. Why? Because he got the wisdom of God on the inside of him and let him know what to do and how to do it. The same with each and every one of us. Look, Brother Hagin is not you know, God's favorite. I am. No, we all are, right? But God's not going to let him know something. He's not going to let Daniel know something. He's not going to let Peter know something. Paul know something that he won't let us know if we ask. But how do we actually ask, though? Or do we just go straight to the world's way of doing things? That's things we need to start looking at. You know, am I always just going, all right, how should I do this world way, the world way? Or how should I do this naturally? Instead of just asking God, hey, God, what is the best way I should handle this? And maybe he'll tell you to go do something. Which we do have to do things over here, right? We're alive, ain't we? I mean, touch yourself, make sure you're good, amen? We are alive, so naturally we are going to do things. But 9 times out of 10, you'll be able to handle it spiritually. Just pray it out. Amen. You will have to do something. Pray. Ask God how to handle it. And then do it. Right? But he's not ever going to keep us in the dark when things pop up or whenever something's coming along. Interesting that God would always let him know about, he said, any of my family. Well, I believe it's up to his first cousins. That means you're spending time with God to know how far out you can handle. You can go out with family. Sounds a lot like Enoch. Well, this is just crazy, Ricky. Well, you ever read the Bible? How did they operate? Would God not always tell in the Old Testament, they used the ephod, or a prophet? Well, the prophet had to use the ephod a lot of times, but he'd tell them too. But have you not ever read where God would always tell a prophet how, like the Israelites would get out. This is how you get them out. This is how you help this town. This is how you help these people. Would he not let them know? Well, do we have a better covenant than they did? Established upon better promises? Yeah, we do. So will he not let us know things to come? Every single time if we ask. Every single time. It'll help you tremendously because now you're not going through life worrying what's going on today, what's going on tomorrow. You're smooth sailing because if something comes up, you know your relationship with God is good, is excellent, and you know that if something was to come up, he would let you know immediately.
Yes, sir.
You know that. Amen. And a lot of times he's trying to let us know, but we're too busy. We are. We're not slowing down. We're not listening. And we're not paying attention. Amen? But we are, right? Look, I'm not talking about anybody. I'm preaching to myself right now, to be honest with you. I believe this is for me, probably not even for y'all. Amen. Amen. Where'd we leave off? Do y'all remember? Brother Hagin talked about his sister. He said, I was able to pray her out of death the first time. He said, but then God let him know about the second, that she got cancer the second time. And he said, I'm not a quitter. He said, I'm not a quitter. He said, I'll refuse to just give up. He said, so I would go over to the church and pray about my sister. He said, and finally God told me, Don't ask me. He said, because your sister, you prayed her out the first time. You prayed her out of death the first time. But she's had plenty of opportunity to feed her faith on the word. Because he gave her 5 years. In the first one, whenever Brother Hagin was praying about it, God told him, all right, I'll give her 5 years. You want to know why? Because that's what Brother Hagin asked. To have that kind of fellowship with God to where he'll go, whatever you ask, I'll do it. Do we have that? We need to ask ourselves individually. Do I have that kind of relationship with God? You know, seriously. Because y'all understand that the world is acting crazy. Y'all understand it's biblical. Y'all understand they're supposed to. But we shouldn't be afraid of it. At all. Why? Because number one, we got the Holy Ghost living on the inside of us, letting us know things in advance. In advance. That means before it happens. I can tell you instance after instance of things that the Holy Ghost let us know about some stuff before it ever happened. Before it ever happened. Y'all all right? Amen. All right. Amen. He'd always let him know. He'll always let you know. He will. Amen. I'd encourage you just to start spending time around the throne of God. Amen. Just start spending time around the throne of God. Just fellowship with God. Just go there. Well, what do you mean? Just worship, magnify God. That's what I'm talking about. And it's like on the inside, whenever he's like, well, what do you need, son or daughter? Which we're all sons according to the word, right?
Yes.
Amen. Just nothing. I'm just here to worship you. Yeah. Nothing. I'm just here to magnify you and praise you. And see, whenever things like that start happening, he can't help himself. He can't. Amen. Amen. There's going to be some decisions that some people need to make. Amen. So that's why I'd encourage you, start spending time around the throne. That way you ain't got to figure out how to do it, but you'll have the answer from God. God will let you know, and it'll all work out fine. Amen. I said, God will let you know, and it'll all work out fine. But you'll have to ask God, God, how should I handle this? What's the decision I need to make here? What's the course of action that I need to do? And he'll let you know. Amen. Amen. Well, amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God forevermore. Amen. I was wondering why the first part of this was just dry. That's why. Because God didn't want to go that way. I thought, but there I am naturally again, right? We assume things. Amen. You got to be led. Everything we do. There was this Brother Hagin, his mom, whenever she was younger, it was her granny. Their granny had a son, and I believe his name was Ernest. And he enjoyed picking cotton, enjoyed it. They said just absolutely loved it. And they were sitting there one Sunday eating, I believe it was dinner or something. And she said, Ernest, you'll get what you want tomorrow. We're going to start picking cotton. And he just looked up at her and said, no, I won't be here. She said, what do you mean? And he was always such a good boy, they said. He said, I'll be up there in heaven with Jesus. Our spirit knows things. Our head don't. And when we try to get here to figure things out, we're wrong. Because now we're trying to handle things naturally. Amen. Okay. Amen. Well, I don't believe I should be going this way on this message, so we're just going to stop. Amen. Because if I just start trying to take you somewhere I want to go, you're just going to get Ricky, and it's going to sound real dumb. Amen. But I would encourage you, start spending time. Yes, sir. Spend time with your spouse. Spend time with your kids. Show them how it works. Yes. Amen. Flow in that. Teach them. Yes. Amen. We'll let Steve pray and dismiss y'all. Me and Pastor Chelsea meet y'all at the door.